Welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Kennedy, and you tune in today because you're sick of trying every fad diet under the sun and training yourself into the ground without seeing any results. That's why I'm here, to share the most effective ways to eat and train for sustainable and real results. What's up, guys? Welcome back to this week's episode of the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. We've got an absolute ripper of a show for you today. Kirsty O'Brien is our guest, and she is going to explain to us what meditation and mindfulness actually is. She's going to tell us a bit about her experience with it, which is very, very inspiring, and also help us understand the mental and physical benefits of meditation and mindfulness, how we can get started, her best ways of meditating, and any tips that she may have, and also the things that she wished everybody knew about meditation and mindfulness. And I thoroughly enjoyed this interview, and I know you guys will too. So if you do take some value from today's show, please do take a screenshot and add it on your Instagram story. Tag myself and tag Kirsty, whose Instagram handle will be in the show notes today. But I hope you're having a fantastic day. Now sit back and relax and enjoy today's episode. All right, Kirsty, welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
What I want to do before we get stuck into a bit more about meditation and mindfulness today is get you to tell myself, because I'm still learning about you as well, but also the listeners, a bit about yourself and what you've done in the past and kind of what you're doing today.
Okay, perfect. Well, I am a life coach and meditation teacher, and I have a strong focus on supporting people to become more mindful in their everyday life. The story of how I got here was, I'm a mum of four and I've got four healthy, happy children. But in 2011, my youngest daughter was initially diagnosed with leukemia at 18 months old. And she went through that course of treatment really, really well. And then 7 months off treatment, she had a relapse at age four. And she was blessed to receive a bone marrow transplant from an unknown donor overseas.
Unreal.
So we're incredibly blessed. So we were just 2 weeks ago, 5 years post-transplant. So we've Amazing. Come a long way in our journey. But of course, when you have a relapse, everything changes. And the first month she received intense chemotherapy, which really brought her to ground zero. And we ended up with her developing a complication from some of the chemotherapies, and she ended up in intensive care. And at that point, she had not spoken, walked, talked, laughed, smiled for about a month. And I spent that night up in her ward, in her bed, and I was just thinking, you know, everything that we're doing to her body, it's just so ravaging. And the minute she gets out of this, I just felt like we need to hit this with something a lot more holistic, so that she could get physically well, but so that we could all around us be mentally and emotionally well. And so the next day she was returned to her ward, and she had a bone marrow transplant about 3 months later. But from that day, we really started to embrace a whole variety of things, and one of them was daily meditation. And embracing it, like looking at it initially, I didn't realize the depth of how much it would really support all of us, and in particular support Ava.
Before you go on, what was the initial, I guess, way of meditating? Were you using an app? Were you using something online? Or were you just listening to calming music? Like, how did you kind of get started in the first place? Because that's a question that I get asked all the time. And obviously, a lot of people meditate and get into mindfulness for different reasons, for, you know, whatever they may be. How did you start? Like, what was the first thing you did to try it out?
So what we practice is a mindfulness meditation. And I had, throughout the years, done a little bit of meditation on my own. So I was a bit familiar with it. But I think, like a lot of tools, until you really, really find you need them, sometimes you don't give them enough of a go. And so what we began to do, Ava and I were separated in the ward. The other kids were at home. My husband would come and go. So Ava and I began in the morning just to talk about what we were grateful for. Then we would ring my other children at home and I would ask them what they were grateful for, and we found that that just really started our days beautifully. As far as the meditation that we practiced, it was just sitting with the breath, and I used a method of, because Ava's, of course, she was four, I used like a light method where we would picture a white light that was healing coming in over our bodies as we just focused on inhaling and exhaling. I taught my children at home the same method and my husband. So Ava and I meditated together each morning. I taught my children how to meditate. They would meditate before going to bed, and my husband would come in and meditate with us on the ward. And so for us, what that did is it just kept us really focused on where we were at, because in that type of situation, there's so much to think about and so much to worry about.
Definitely.
But I really just realized that, you know what, time's valuable and where you put your energy is really important. And up until that point of my life, I had wasted so much time worrying about stupid shit and stuff that didn't matter. And I just really wanted to be present in every moment I had, so that there were no, you know, there was no regrets. We were just really, every moment we had, we could choose how we felt despite the situation that was going on around us.
Yeah, that's awesome. And when you were doing like the breath work and the meditation, how long were you doing those sessions for?
So with Ava, just again, 5 to 10 minutes. And still to this day, my personal practice is an hour a day, but I break it up. 10 minutes in the morning when I wake up, 10 minutes before I go to bed. And then it's on me to put those extra 40 minutes in throughout the day. And why I do that is to keep me more present and mindful, so that I actually take the time to grab 5 to 10 minutes here and there. When I jump in the car, give myself 5 minutes before I start the engine. And it just really keeps me tuned in to now.
Brings you back to the present.
Yeah. Because this, I think a lot of people are put off by meditation because they think you have to be a bit monk-like. You have to meditate for hours at a time. Total silence, never think a thought, and it's just not like that, you know.
It's not true, is it? It's funny when I first started, but even now when I talk about meditation, you know, for those that may not know that I've done it, like people automatically go, like, it would assume that I would be like literally the last person to do it, because I cannot stop my brain from, you know, I've got like little monkeys running around in my brain all the time. But I, you know, and I think it's different for everyone as well. And that was a question I wanted to ask you, is what, for those that are listening that haven't tried it, or maybe not afraid to try it, but just avoiding it, like what are some of the, obviously we kind of know there's a huge mental benefit, but have you found there's been physical benefits, or what are some of the things that you may be feeling physically once you do get into that good kind of zone when you are meditating?
Absolutely. I think we've got the benefits. It definitely improves your sleep, boosts your immunity, lowers your stress instantly. And as soon as you sit in a meditation, your body's releasing all of those feel-good hormones. But more importantly too, for me, after Ava's diagnosis, I actually was diagnosed with PTSD, anxiety. And meditation has absolutely supported me to heal my anxiety, because it just enables you to, like you said, interrupt that monkey mind, you know, the litany of thoughts that we've got, and actually choose to change our state. And, you know, it's not easy at first, but, you know, if I'm in a state of, you know, anxiety, meditation gives me, I call it that space where I can then choose to maybe feel appreciation or gratitude or gentleness or kindness towards myself, rather than just beating myself down. And I definitely feel that it improves your focus, your emotional resilience, because again, you know, it's giving you these little, you know, aspects of self-awareness into what you're thinking, and enables you to stop being a slave to every thought, every emotion that comes up, and instead choose, okay, well, do I want to feel like this? Maybe I'll let that go, which I always say it has a ripple effect too on our relationships, because changes the way we communicate too when we're not acting on every thought and emotion that comes up.
Well, that's right, because that was one thing I was going to say, is that you do typically get into the habit of just, you know, you get to the point where you're not even really thinking about the response you're giving to certain behavior or certain things that you do from day to day, because it just almost becomes a habit and there's really no thought to what's going on. And it all just, the whole thing just becomes joined as one. Whereas when you do take that step back and even if it is just breathing for a little bit, you do start to think Absolutely. A lot more about everything that is going on around you and not just take it all as it comes and let it just fly straight past.
Absolutely. I mean, how many of us are actually walking around in autopilot for most of the day? You know, always
the
first thing I say when I do workshops is, you know, do you remember making your cup of coffee this morning? So many people don't. You know, how many people don't even remember like the drive to work because you're just in autopilot mode? And I always say when you're in autopilot mode, what's driving the bus is your subconscious. And there is a lot of those limiting beliefs or the hurt child or the trauma. And so a lot of times when we're in autopilot mode, we're actually operating from a hurt place and from a place that needs to be healed. Whereas when we're present, we're acting from the man or the woman that I am today, who I am in this moment. And I can choose to be that person. I can choose to be more empowered, more present, more conscious, you know, more forgiving, more compassionate. So it really is, that's the game changer, I believe, is stepping us out of autopilot, because we all have stress. You don't need a cancer diagnosis to have stress. When you're operating in autopilot, like you said, it's just habit, and a lot of those habits are not positive because we haven't consciously created them.
And it's also, yeah, exactly right. And I often kind of pair it with the, obviously not everyone's in a situation where they can do something about it, but I pair it with how a lot of people are doing jobs and their career path is something that they don't even necessarily enjoy, but it's just become habit. It's just become something that they don't even think about anymore. It's almost just like they think that this is just how it has to be, when they never take a step back to think about what else that could be, they could be doing, or if there is any other opportunity or chance to change that and change the way they think about their every single day, especially when you're doing it so often. And it's, I think it's no Yes. different to the thoughts that we have.
Absolutely. It's just interrupting that narrative, isn't it? And taking that breath to actually question sometimes what's going on as well, because
That's probably a really good way to put it, actually, is to question what's going on.
Yeah, because not every thought is a truth. But when we let them, you know, that monkey mind go crazy, we're actually operating as if every single thing that's coming up for us is an absolute truth, and that every single emotion is something that we, as you said before, that we want to react on it. And so, you know, the more you begin to meditate, it gives you that breath to actually respond rather than react. How do I want to think, feel? What do I want my life to look like? And it does really have that ripple effect into all areas of your life in a much larger scope if once you commit to it and make it a daily practice.
Definitely. And when you meditate, for example, like this is just something that I was thinking about before is like when I do my meditation in the morning, depending on which one I do, there's a certain one I do where I kind of always end up thinking about the same thing, like while I'm doing it, because I'll be if I do mine first thing in the morning, part of the meditation is imagining that there's like a light or sunlight on you, and it asks you to kind of go back to the last time you remember being in a position like that, and I always end up thinking of the same spot, the same kind of place. Something that people, you think people should be consciously trying to be aware of or change, or it doesn't really matter?
No, I think that with meditation, because, you know, it's like all different things. There's so many different types of meditation. So it depends what meditation people are practicing, what they're comfortable with. What I practice is a mindfulness meditation, and the whole idea of your mindfulness meditation is to actually observe without judgment. So just allowing thoughts or images to come up to you and observing them without judgment, and that gives us that detachment, so that again it's not controlling us, rather we can just observe, is that something that we want to hold on to, is that something that we'd like to, you know, explore further, Is it, you know, shining a light on something that's bothering us, something we need to let go of? So it just depends what type of meditation that you're actually practicing. But it's, and I think you can use meditation as a beautiful visualization tool too. Like quite often in the mornings, I'll visualize on, you know, I do some journaling first and really look at my goals and the energy that I'm embodying. And then I'll do a visualization meditation where I just sit and really picture my life, you know, moving forward, and spend some time there. And I find that's really positive because it creates that energy, and I then move throughout my day a bit differently.
Yeah, and well, I had a guest on the show recently, India Vine, and she was talking about how first thing in the morning when she has a shower, she always has a cold shower and listens to, she listens to the same song. So then every time she gets in there, regardless of what mood she was in before that or whether she was feeling motivated or not, it's kind of like once she's in there, she has these affirmations, and then by the time she gets out, that's set the tone for exactly how she wants to approach her day. And like I said, regardless of what she was feeling beforehand, it kind of just brings back that correlation with being positive and going about what she needs to do.
Yeah, it creates that anchor. And we can create anchors like that in lots of things, scent, music, as you said, particular statements that we say. And that instantly becomes an anchor for bringing your body back up into a high vibrational state. So things like that are really useful for just keeping you where you want to be and releasing negativity as well.
Yeah, without a doubt. And this may not be something that that you've looked into much or whatever, but is there any types of, I guess, nutritional approaches or something like that that you tend to follow that you think enhances that mindfulness or even cognitive kind of awareness?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you asked that. About 3 months ago, I've actually begun intermittent fasting.
Okay, yeah.
And for that very reason, that I found that I was getting a bit sluggish with my workouts. I work from home a lot, and I found I was mindlessly eating. And so once I began the fasting, it works really well for my body, for one, but I'm really mindful with what I'm eating in that time that I've got to eat. And it just really kept me on track to become a lot more present when I was eating, because sometimes you get to the end of the day, especially if you're at home, and you don't actually realize what you've eaten, and then you feel really sluggish.
Yeah, it's just and that if you actually write down
what you've eaten. Yeah, and yeah, just a little bit of, again, like a habit that you're not conscious of. I'll just go to the cupboard here between this client or do this. And yeah, so that's what I'm loving, the fasting. It's really working well for me in my training. And again, yeah, it's just another touchstone of staying mindful with what I'm doing when it comes to that.
Yeah. And do you have any, with the actual meditation itself, is there any apps or websites or certain meditations that people could get access to that you think would be beneficial for someone, I guess, someone starting, but also someone that's been doing it for a while, like myself? Like, is there somewhere that you send people to try it out, or different meditations that you would recommend?
Well, what I always say is start with 5 minutes and find your natural time, because everyone has a different time that works for them. You can definitely see the benefits meditating 5 minutes every single day, rather than if you tried to meditate for half an hour once a week. Because it's just like going to the gym. If I went to the gym, you know, once a fortnight and did a 2-hour session, I'm not going to see the results than if I go every single day for half an hour or 40 minutes.
Yeah, I say something similar, like along the lines of, you know, a good month or a great month is much better than a perfect week.
Absolutely. Yep. Because the minute that you sit in meditation, you're meditating. You're doing great. Lose the expectations around it. I always say start with 5 minutes, see what your natural rhythm is. It might be 10, it might be 20. Some people do have a natural where they can meditate for an hour, but again, that really relies on what you do, your current routine.
Yeah.
But you know, I say five minutes is less than 1% of your day, and everybody has has 5 minutes. Exactly. At the same time, every single day, I always recommend first thing in the morning because you're more inclined to stick with that. And
I agree. And I think as well on that. Sorry to cut you off. I think on doing it first thing in the morning, what I've found anyway is that it just sets the tone for the day. And by the time I leave the house, even though, you know, really I haven't actually done anything, but I already feel productive and feel like I'm a lot more switched on if I've done that before I leave the house compared to when I get home at the end of the day. And to be honest, most of the time when I try and do it at night time, I just fall asleep straight away anyway. So yeah. I don't feel like I get any benefit out of the actual meditation. Yeah.
No, I totally agree. There's something so special about giving yourself that time in the morning. And I always say that's an investment in yourself. And that sends a really strong message to your subconscious that you're worthy. And so that just in itself is really valuable when you give yourself that portion of time. And you're going to move through your day differently just by making yourself a priority first thing in the morning. And just by deciding, how do I want to feel? What do I want to embody today? Taking that time to actually, you know, align with it. It's really powerful. So you can just, I always say, just start with your breath. You don't need anything. You don't need any equipment. You don't need to do anything. You just sit up in bed. You can chair. Just feel comfortable and just set a timer for 5 minutes. Focus on your breathing. Breathing, inhaling, exhaling. If thoughts come up, just let them go. You've got nothing to do, nowhere to be. And
yeah, definitely.
Allow yourself that time and just watch what happens as you slowly begin to get that detachment from every single thought that comes in and you just keep bringing yourself back to the breath. There's lots of different apps that you can use. I've never used an app. But again, I think with guided meditations, I always say it's a really personal thing. If you vibe with someone's voice, if you like the music, that's the beauty. There's so many apps. Insight Timer, I hear a lot of people saying great things about that one. You can get on YouTube. I've got a portal where there's 6 or 7 guided meditations and I'm always changing them up. You can definitely get access to lots of guided meditations, and guided meditations are a great way to start because a lot of people find it daunting just to sit with their breath and their thoughts. And I always say, if we're coming from a very high stress level, the thought of sitting in meditation and just sitting with our thoughts can be really overwhelming and confronting. So a guided meditation can be a really great, like, beginner introduction to it, because you're not actually thinking about anything. You're just listening to the person guide you through your meditation.
Yeah, and I find as well with the guided ones, if I do happen to get into, I guess, that kind of peak, I guess you'd call it a peak mental state where I am fully into that meditation, a lot of the time I actually lose track of what they're saying anyway.
Yeah.
You do tend to kind of get to the point where you are just focusing on your breath and, you know, next thing you know, the meditation's over or you've just can't remember what they've said for the last few minutes. But I find that really beneficial once I can reach that point.
Absolutely. And you feel it in your body. You definitely.
Oh, you do. You know, I almost get like this, almost like a tingling feeling in my lips, actually. It's probably usually the sign that I can tell that I'm right into it.
Yep, absolutely. Yep, you can get tingling hands, fingers, top of your head, and that's your body just dropping into a totally relaxed state. And I always say that's when you've moved from fight or flight into, you know, gentle rest and recovery, and that's where we want to be. You know, that's where our body's repairing and looking after itself, and we're at our optimum state.
All right, now, Kirsty, when we spoke initially, I remember you said that you really wanted to help people understand what meditation and mindfulness actually is, and you said you had a bit of a different spin on it compared to what some people may think. So if there was one thing, or then maybe there's more than one, things that you'd like people to know about meditation, what would it be?
Well, the main thing is that I always say it doesn't make us or life perfect, but it makes us happier. And I think that's the really important thing, because in this life we just want to be happy, and by being more mindful you can totally up level your mindset, how you feel about yourself and your connection with others. And that's the beauty of it, because it's got this ripple effect on the world around us.
Yeah, that's unreal. And I've said it multiple times on the show, and I feel like I say it all the time now, but I'm just a huge advocate of meditation and mindfulness. And even if it is just taking a step back and breathing and realizing that you are in control, and or more in control than what you probably think you are, and just zooming out a bit and taking a bit of perspective on everything and your thoughts and all that type of stuff is just so beneficial. And I think that one of the things that I've found, or something that I try and tell people now is, and I you might have even mentioned it at the start, is that it doesn't have to, or it shouldn't take kind of a certain event or something in your life to make you realize that meditation is for everyone. So I think the more people that can be doing it, regardless of whether you feel like you need it or not, it's going to improve your life in some way or another. That's just my opinion anyway.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing. We tend to look after our physical health, and meditation is just like a bicep curl, but for the brain. You know, that's how you really look after your emotional and your mental health. And yeah, it's so important, because that our emotional and mental health is, that's how we feel about ourselves and how we show up in the world. So it's important to take that time to nurture that area of our health as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Love it. And for those that are listening today that have taken some value, because I reckon there will be a lot that have, and it's another one of these topics that I wanted to go into a bit more detail about. So firstly, thank you, Kirsty, but where can people find more of your content? And so I'll have all those links and stuff in the show notes too, but if you want to just list kind of where people can find you, that'd be great.
Amazing. Well, on social media, it's Meditate with Kirsty, and my website's kirstyobryan.com.
Fantastic. And as I said, I'll have the links to those in the show notes. So Kirsty, a massive thanks for coming on the show today. It's been very enjoyable. And I think, as I said, a lot of people have taken some value. And for those that are listening, if you have taken some value from today's show, please do make sure you take a screenshot of this episode on your phone and post up on your Instagram story and tag myself and tag Kirsty. We'd love to hear some feedback from the episode and let us know whether it helped you in some way or another. And if you haven't tried meditation before, then I would 100% recommend giving it a try and just taking a bit of a chance with it. And as Kirsty said, be consistent with it for a while and watch the benefits and watch how much you begin to enjoy it and see a positive impact on your life. So if there's anything else you'd like to add in, Kirsty, feel free. Otherwise, we'll wrap things up.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks so much. And guys, those who are listening, I hope you're having a fantastic day. Look forward to bringing you next week's episode.